Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, or whose confidence is in Him, or whose hope is in Him, depending on the translation. My dear friends in Christ, how would you like to make a few extra $1,000? As you think about it, a show of hands, please. As you think about that, I can tell you one way to do it. Just write a book with the words that begin the title, How To. See, we live in a world where people have this self-absorbed confidence in their own ability. So during the week, I Googled just how to on a Google search and came up with, guess what? 25,270,000,000 different links. So then out of curiosity, went over to YouTube and began to Google or look around there, and it had so many how-tos that I had lost track. You have to understand that how-to is a man's confidence in himself. Now, those of you who have worked professionally in construction will be the first to tell you that not everybody has a how-to ability. There's a lot of homeowners that take on projects that they have no business doing, no matter how many YouTube videos they watch. And I think it sometimes that may even apply to me. But we're confident in our abilities. Now for a moment, think back over the last century or century and a half, and just think of how far mankind has come. We come from the days of horse and buggy, all the way up to aircraft that have jet engines on them, to having spacecraft that can send probes into the outer atmosphere, put a man on the moon, and even a robot on the planet Mars. We are an amazing people. We've gone from candlelights to electricity. We've gone from maybe having a fan or sleeping as one of our members did on the hay rack outside the house in the summer when it was hot, to now we have air-conditioned rooms. It is utterly amazing. But if you look back over all of our history, from coming from horse and buggy all the way up to the modern-day automobile, you can begin to understand why man has a great overestimation of what his abilities can do. There are so many accomplishments that mankind has accomplished in the last century and a half. In fact, one person once said that man can do anything that he sets his mind to. And for the most part, that's kind of true. But the problem is our sinful nature tends to forget the one who gives us the ability to do anything. It's no different this morning for you and me, or for Jeremiah, or for any human being since the fall of man into sin. Because mankind from the very beginning that fall into sin has forgotten where his abilities have come from. Instead of trusting in God above all things, we tend to put all of our trust and all of our faith and all of our confidence in ourselves. And see, that misguided trust and confidence is misplaced, and our sinful nature seems to think it has the ability even to find reconciliation for our own sin. And so this morning in our Old Testament lesson, the Holy Spirit has inspired Jeremiah to record a word of law and to really ask the question of us this morning, who do you trust? Do you trust in yourself that only brings death, or do you trust in God above all things, including yourself? Now in our text this morning, the prophet Jeremiah points out that beginning of trusting in ourselves, that sin of trusting ourselves, literally begins in the heart of sinful fallen man. Jeremiah says these words, "This is what the Lord says, cursed is the man who makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." He's really talking about idolatry. But idolatry is not only things constructed of stone or wood. The children of Israel had placed their confidence in their own ability. Jeremiah had preached to the nation of Israel that they were going to be destroyed unless they turned away from their sinful arrogance, but they continued to ignore him. In fact, the kings of Israel from Judah since the time of Solomon were making all these political alliances with the nations around them. As the threat come from the north and Babylon, they turned to the south and asked Egypt if they would be their ally to help them, to keep them safe from any impending invasion from the north. And God said to his people, now why go to Egypt and drink water from the Shihor? And why go to Assyria and drink water from the river? Why do you go about so much changing your ways? You will be disappointed by Egypt as you were with Assyria. In other words, why do you trust in everybody but me? As I thought about that, I thought about our circumstances in the world today. We live in probably notably the most powerful nation that maybe has ever existed in human civilization. We put all of our trust in the might of our military, in our diplomatic alliances, and in our economic strength. And it replaces that repentance from our sin and that trust and faith in God. We are a lot like Israel. We trust in ourselves rather than our protector, who is God Himself. When God calls upon us and says, why? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Well, as for Israel, so it is for all of us. When we have this twisted notion that we think that we are utterly self-sufficient and masters of our own fate. How often have we defiantly shaken our fist at God, thinking to ourselves, no, God, I'll do it my way. God tells us to study His Word daily and to sink the roots of our faith deep into His Word to withstand the temptations of the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature. But what do? We think we've learned all we really need to know while we're in confirmation class. And now we can simply trust in ourselves and our own ability instead of God. Then God speaks to us from His Word. We should be like Samuel and say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. But do we? Too often we put our trust in ourselves and what we can do and simply think God is incapable of helping us. Instead, lost in the sinfulness of our flesh, we misdirect and misplace our trust and confidence, and we defiantly shout out to God, no, God, you listen to me. Whenever our hearts turn away from God, we're in fact writing our own living will. We're telling God that, you know what? We don't need your life support. We don't need your protection. We would rather go it alone than rely on the abilities that we have, Lord. We just want to trust ourselves. One commentator referred to it as a spiritual suicide. We turn away from God. And we remove ourselves from the very source of life in the world in which we live. Jeremiah identifies it as this. It's like a bush planted in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes, and he will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. When we don't put our trust in God and His Word, it's like we're that shrub in the wilderness. It has all of this potential for life, but because there is no water, it turns brown and it withers and it dies. So it is when we put our confidence within ourselves. It is in the sinful flesh which can bring only one thing. It brings death. But Jeremiah doesn't stop there. He paints quite a different picture for those who put their trust in the Lord. After his stern preaching to the rebellious people of Israel that turned their backs on God, he begins to tell them the exact opposite. For those who put their trust in the Lord, this is what happens. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust, whose confidence, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes and its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Even though the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord God and turned away from Him, those who had repented of their sins, God had forgiven them and they had found security and hope within Him. If you read throughout the scripture, time and time and time again, God forgives those who sin against Him when they repent. God always provides. God always delivers. God always responded to the cries of His people for help. Well, this morning, Jesus invites you and I to trust in Him. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. You know, the reality in our sinful, fallen world, trust is a big word for a Christian to cling to. The Christians that have placed their trust in God above all things are just like that tree that is planted by streams of living water. Because the time of drought will come, but the leaves, the tree's roots are so deep and attached in the soil and drink mightily from the river of life. They're always green despite the circumstances that are going around in the world around them. And the same is true for each and every one of us. The Christian whose roots are firmly grounded and planted in the Word of God remain faithful to God and trust in Him above all things. And our strength will come from the well of living water as we drink from Christ and from Christ alone. You know, it's little wonder that it's the study of God's Word, it's attendance in the divine service that are so vital to the life of a Christian. Because you and I experience many of the hardships of the world in which we live. We are no different from anyone else. We're not immune from suffering. But the reality as a Christian is different from us because we are rooted in God's Word and we hear His promises spoken to us. Well, in Jeremiah's day, he heard God's Word directly. And for you and I, we hear it through His printed Word. This enabled him to stand up against the fiercest opposition in the full confidence that God would provide for him and for all he needed. The prophet Jeremiah put all of his trust, all of his confidence in God alone, and God blessed him greatly. I came across a story lately of a group of scientists and botanists who are in the Alps looking for rare plants and flowers. And with binoculars, they looked up a ravine between two sharp cliffs, and they saw a flower that they had never seen before, so rare and so valuable for them. But it was located in a place which would be extremely difficult to get to. To get to the flower, someone would have to be lowered over the jagged edge above and let down by rope. Well, as they contemplated their options, a curious young boy was watching nearby, and the scientist told him that they would pay him that if he would agree to be lowered down over the cliff to retrieve the flowers. The boy peeked over the edge of the cliff and looked how far down it was. And he says, I'll be back in a minute. A short time later, he returned, followed by a gray-haired man. And approaching the botanist, the boy said, I'll go over the cliff and get the flowers for you if this man holds the rope. He's my dad. You know, the moral of the story is, who do we put our trust in? During times of attack, Satan will try to overcome you with doubts As tribulations come, Satan will come and ask you a question, why is God punishing you? Doesn't God love you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is not punishing you. Because God carried out His punishment upon His one and only Son upon the cross of Calvary. Because that's where Jesus Christ died. To pay the debt that we owed for all the times we put our confidence in ourselves. His innocent death for our sins is the payment that God required. And He doesn't punish us even when we deserve it. The punishment that each and every one of us deserved was completed when our Savior cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." And the greatest need that you and I will ever have is that need for forgiveness. And that forgiveness for you and I comes when God, through His Son, fulfilled His promise that He would send forth a Savior. Because Jesus Christ has died for us, our sins are forgiven. You know, one of the things that I think is the biggest challenge within our church today is when brothers and sisters in Christ look over the past sins of their life and they set aside some as not being forgivable. Is that there's a price more that I have to pay for the forgiveness of this sin or that sin. But hear the words of Jesus. "Even I am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake and forgives your sins and remembers your sins no more." God has forgiven every single one of our sins, something that no do-it-yourself project could ever accomplish for you and for me. In the times in life when we trust our physical strength, the day will come when our strength will fail. When we trust our money to be able to provide for us and all these different things and the economy tanks and that security is taken away. When we put our trust in our friends and our families with the secrets of our life, they are often spilled to other people and that trust is broken. There are times when our ideals and our goals and our ambitions are unfulfilled and unsustainable or unobtainable. And in the end, we find out that our self-reliance is able to produce nothing in us but despair and hopelessness. But this morning, Jeremiah reminds us to put our trust and our confidence in God alone. We can rely on Him because we have proof that He has acted mightily upon our behalf. Not only in Christ upon the cross, suffering and dying for our sins, but in a tomb that was empty on Easter morning to prove that what Jesus said was true, that His sacrifice was sufficient, that our sins are forgiven. This morning, if you want to be confident in your forgiveness, I'd ask you to look no further than the water of your baptism. To look no further than the altar where the flesh and blood of Christ is for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Don't look to yourself, but look to Him. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.